you for the rest.
Let's go. Let's go.
Now you're tuned in to the best.
Y'all know the name.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.
Entertainment Man Podcast is brought to you by Crispy on the Web. Go to crispyontheweb.com for more information, social media, and much, much more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Entertainment Man Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Manuel Podcast. Welcome to another episode of this podcast. It's good to be back again. This is week two, I think. This is the 285th episode of the podcast. Wow, I can't believe it. We're really deep into the series now, and I'm really happy. First of all, I want to apologize. There is no YouTube video for now. I'm going to be uploading to the Crispy on the Web YouTube channel. Old episodes, once that's done, we're going to be going back into video for this podcast. So you know, the show is already, it's a different story. We have video, we're bolting up video on there. So that is really important to mention as well. So today I have Kentura Zajac back on the podcast. How's it going, man?
It's going awesome. How about you?
Doing good. Just enjoying the life with the new screen behind me. So I got that for my 39th birthday.
Yep. Got one too for my 18th, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Green screens are awesome.
They are. I love it. I can do practically anything. And I do a lot of, I'll do like a Facebook Live. Well, you're on my Facebook fan page. I know that. I saw that. So yeah. I just smiled like, yep, he's on the fan page. But yeah, it's great. It's really, really great. And I really enjoy it. And Larry and I have been using it lately. And it's a great piece of equipment when it comes to, especially creating videos too. So that's really important.
Yeah, I agree. I've been using my green screen a lot. There's a big project that I've been working on, mm-hmm. and it's probably not going to be posted for as soon as I hope for it to be, mm-hmm. but I use the green screen so much.
Yeah. I don't do Twitch anymore, but, you know, I still have the podcast to do, and, you know, that's still what's important. As long as I'm using this, you know, it's a, look, you know what I mean, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I got you.
I noticed in the one corner, there's a snowflake. That snowflake's in the studio right now. You can kind of see it sticking out. Whoops, my arm's not going the right way. Like, there, yeah. I have one of my snowflakes. Yeah, it's a little tidbit of the snowflakes in the studio, so. But, actually, let's talk about green screens. That's what's really important with green screens, and I didn't even mention this in my notes. I'm surprised I didn't. You know, is it, like, do you have to use a green screen or not really?
What do you mean by that? Like, for the specific projects I'm doing, or just in general?
Just in general when you're creating content, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about YouTube thumbnails and content creation.
Right. So while I don't think you need a green screen, I generally like to use one just because it's easier to just edit out the background.
Yeah. And it's, you can take pictures, not just video, but you can do like pictures with it. You can kind of take yourself. I've actually taken a picture of myself in front of this, and I found it so much easier to remove the background, because I use a site called remove.bg. I recommend it to you guys. It's amazing. It's a great little website to remove backgrounds, and I know it does a lot better job around my head and my body. So it's that's one thing I like with the green screen. Even when I did my Twitch streams, it was fine because I could put myself in the corner and there's like nothing behind me. So all you can see is the gameplay behind. It's just amazing. It's an amazing tool.
Yeah, it is a great tool. I also use remove.bg all the time. So, yeah.
I love it. We use BeFunky for the thumbnails too, so. Oh, we can talk about that too. We'll talk about that. So I made an exception for, okay, so I'm not doing video. So yeah, we're talking dissecting YouTube and thumbnails and creating content. That's the big topic today on the podcast. So what different types of content are there for YouTube? For clarification for my listeners. Yeah. Like, what kind of different content is there to make for YouTube? So what kind of types of content is there to make on YouTube?
I think that there's two big ones. There's short form and long form.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's three subdivisions within each. And it's educational. Oh my gosh, I forgot the other name. But it's a mix, edutainment. It's the mix of educational and entertainment, and then entertainment.
Yeah. This podcast is considered entertainment, I guess, so to speak. That's what it would be. And shorts are big on YouTube now. Yeah.
Yeah, especially now with TikTok. I mean, we're about about, what, 6 days from TikTok getting banned from the United States, so...
Yeah, that's gonna take a hit on my, my TikTok. It's, yeah, I might have to get rid of it at some point, but that's so dumb they're doing that, but that's my opinion, but, you know, what it is what it is. That's what they want to do, but, you know, it's gonna hurt them. It's gonna really hurt the platform, too, so... And that's actually, TikTok's almost like a short, kind of like a short side of, it's like a short form content as well. There's like, that is becoming a big popular thing on the internet, is the short form content.
Yeah, I notice like now more than ever, if you upload like good short form content, you can easily get 100, 200 million views. Of course, like, it still takes effort, but 100, 200 million views. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be Mr. Beast to do that on a long form video. So it's interesting.
It is.
But it also, wow. Yeah.
I think my highest is, let's see, 600, 700, something like that. Maybe it was between 200 and 500, I think, in views. One of my shorts that I did on the original channel, Entertainment Man. So it's like, that's good though. That's really, really good.
Yeah, it drives attention to the long form content if that's what you like doing. But if not, like, that's still a lot of views for short form.
It is.
500 is awesome.
It is. And I always, always direct the actual episode of the podcast in my description. If you want to see the whole thing, go to this link. So I kind of do a, what do they call that? A call to action. That's what they call that in the podcasting world. It's call to action. So it's great. I can actually get, and it's actually gotten more views on the long form too, which is great.
Yeah, I use call to actions all the time. I'm both like in content and business, especially since I'm like, I'd say within the next 2-3 weeks, like, I'm going to start posting a boatload of content. I'm going to have CTAs to websites, to videos, just all that, just so that way everything's connected.
Yeah, that's great. It is. So, but, okay, so shorts, they don't have a thumbnail right now. Do you think they will ever have thumbnails for shorts eventually or no?
So I know YouTube has thumbnails for shorts on TVs. I think that YouTube will want to, as a platform, YouTube will want to put in thumbnails for shorts, just because then it allows for the consumers to choose exactly which short they want to watch.
Yeah.
But I do like the way it is now, to where it's no thumbnail, not because I don't think shorts shouldn't have thumbnails, but I like how it's, you see what's in the video, so you know if you're going to like it or not. Not just a thumbnail that's clickbait.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of makes you want to click too, right?
Right, because it's, you see part of the video and you're like, huh, what's the context of that?
Yeah.
And then you go in, you watch it, and you're like, oh, that's what the context is.
Yeah, it's kind of like a click to action on that one. That's a new, I just invented that whole word, but it's true. Like, that's what's important with YouTube. You want them to click onto, you know, your video, like, so they can watch it. Like, the more clicks, the better. The views will go up higher and higher, right?
Exactly. And for YouTube as a platform, you want to accommodate to YouTube, and for them, it's just keep people on the platform. So if your video is something they want to watch and it keeps them on the platform, then YouTube's going to encourage it and give more recommendations to more people.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Totally agree. With thumbnails, do they tell a story?
All of them have to tell a story, but I think what a lot of people try to do is they try to tell the entire story in a thumbnail.
Mm-hmm.
I try to study like all the biggest YouTubers and their thumbnails, at least the ones who are very analytical and they try to improve their thumbnails.
Mm-hmm.
So just for an example, Mr. Beast, I know he's been in a lot of controversy recently, but I'm just going to go over his tactics in his YouTube.
Yeah.
So for him, let's take for his 100 millionth subscriber, he gave that person a private eye.
Mm-hmm.
In the thumbnail, well, the title says, I gave my 100 million subscriber a private island. Mm-hmm. But the thumbnail itself is a crazy private island and Jimmy's flying around in a private jet or a private helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that, you're like, whoa, he's giving away this massive island, but we don't see who wins.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like telling a story, but tell it until the... until the end, then yeah. Leave the ending off.
Exactly. There's always even in the movies, but I'm sure this also applies to YouTube. It's like the different aspects, you know, like the introduction, and then you have like in the middle is like the climax of it, and then it's like the conflict, and then it's the resolution, and then the ending, right?
Right. Yeah. I think that I do want to talk more about this can be later on, but like I've also there was one thing that came up, which is completely awesome, and I am now directing a show, and I could possibly be directing two shows on traditional media this year. And just from learning from traditional media what happens behind the scenes, like that has changed my entire outlook on YouTube as well, because traditional media kind of nailed it. The only difference between traditional media and YouTube that I see right now is that traditional media is typically presented forcefully on the viewer. But on YouTube, the viewers choose what they want to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So, also, thumbnails, is it, like we were saying, is important. Is it important, thumbnails? Because you want that click, right?
Right.
How do you define a good thumbnail? The hard one.
You know, I want to say a good thumbnail is just one that stands out. But realistically, all of the creators nowadays, especially the ones that get recommended, just stand out already. Yeah. And so, how do you make the difference? One thing that I normally do, and this is just for me right now to gain traction, and you know, this is just for right now. Later on I might redact this and say as a kid I was stupid, but I copy there's three main creators that I want to be like, since I'm going more into the education space. Which is Vin Jang, who is a communications expert, and then Alex Hormozi and Layla Hormozi, who run portfolio of companies. All of them do content, and all of them have millions of subscribers. They've done something right. I just straight up copy and paste what they did on their thumbnails, but slap my own face on it and change the wording to what I think fits best. And you know, from there I know I'm going to learn, hey, this is what works. Let me experiment, you know, a color change, let me experiment font change. And you know, what makes a great thumbnail is copying what works, but then adding your own twist to it to make it your own and make it unique from everyone else's.
Let's move on to content. Now that's another important thing when it comes to, you know, creating content and whatnot with YouTube. What's the best way to have a really good content to where you're getting tons of views?
I feel like it depends on exactly what you're trying. For education, a lot of people mistake in education minutes of value with value per minute. So for me, I'm trying to legitimately, I published a book last year, which was an hour and a half long to read, but I'm doing a TED talk in 2 months, and it basically summarizes the entire book in 6 minutes.
Wow.
So what are people going to listen to more? The book that's an hour 30 that is basically the exact same thing, or are they going to listen to the 6 minute TED talk that has the exact same value, but in 6 minutes instead of 90?
It's more like a condensed version almost.
Bingo.
Yeah.
The more condensed it is without losing value, the better. For education, I would say it's just how much emotion do you put in within the first, a lot of YouTubers say around 8 seconds, 6 to 8 seconds.
Yeah.
I personally think that, yes, the first 6 to 8 seconds is important, but I think the first 10% of a video, how emotional can you get that? So with the hook, how can you show the most impactful moments in the entire video? And then how do you set up the beginning to get to those points?
Yeah, exactly. That's true. So when making videos, do you have to have a niche? You know what a niche is, right? Do you want to explain what a niche is first?
Yeah, a niche is, I mean, at least the way that I define it, is just a small subsection of a general group of people. So for example, there are people who watch YouTube, and considering we're talking about YouTube right now, let's just say YouTube itself is a niche.
Yeah.
But within the YouTube community, there's people who will watch this video who want to learn more about how do I make YouTube videos.
Yeah.
For my content, it's how do you want to be a better leader, a better communicator. For another person, it might be, I just want people who like to play Five Nights at Freddy's kind of a thing.
Yeah. And what was I saying before? So I guess it's really important to have a niche, right? Like why is it important to have a niche when creating created videos.
A niche really defines your audience, and it all depends on exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if your main goal is just to have fun, then finding a niche isn't that important. But like, if you want to make sure that you can get income, mm-hmm. then finding a niche basically just talks to a very specific person.
Yeah.
And so that way that person keeps coming back and watching. And if you ever launch a product or you do something, launch a Patreon,
mm-hmm.
that way they have enough trust in you that they're going to trust you to give them the value that they give you.
Yeah.
Whether it's monetary or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And I guess there's all kinds of different niches too. And let's dissect Crispy on the Web / Entertainment Man Podcast / The CBW Show. So what would my niche be? Entertainment would be one, right?
Right. Yeah, with the gaming streams, 100% entertainment would be one.
Yeah, I don't do the gaming streams anymore though. But it's still entertainment.
That is true.
Yeah, still entertainment. Yeah, because I still like the blogs. It's just like that's like written form. That's another type of way of content, right? It's written form, video form.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like your content is also. It doesn't help that this podcast is like it's entertainment, but it's also educational.
Yes.
So I might say that it's actually more edutainment than anything else.
Yeah.
Which to me is probably the most profitable, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you reach the widest audience mm-hmm. while also having the most suitable audience to buy products.
Yeah.
Because they do want to be educated.
Yeah. And I always use the tags motivational and self-help. You know, self-improvement. Like, I'll put that separately because now the YouTube channel that I'm rebuilding up is, it has, like, Crispy on the Web media stuff. Like, we have videos we're going to do. We have the two podcasts. But, you know, that's what's great about YouTube is you can actually put in different tags on the video. And that's important, too.
Yeah, I agree. It helps narrow down the audience further.
Yeah, it does. And if you type it in, like, for example, let's say motivational for Entertainment Man, you would actually probably, I would probably be somewhere up there on the videos that would appear, right? So that helps you, right. You know, appear in the results too.
Yeah, I honestly haven't played around with tags so much, and I really do. Like, I think that tags are really important. I'm at this, like, standstill because, like, a lot of creators that I want to be like
mm-hmm.
say tags are important. But if you take a look at, like, other creators who are like Mr. Beast, Arak, Ryan Trahan, they're just like, the tags don't matter. So I'm just like, which creators actually have the audience that I want, and what do they do, and is it replicable, and is it a good way to replicate what they're doing?
Yeah, it's true. And a lot of people, I'm probably guessing there's a lot of people that don't really use tags, and it's important to use the tags because, like you said, you get more viewers and more views on the and more subscribers on the channel, right?
Yeah, that is true. Like, the more narrow, I guess, quote unquote narrow, you put the tags,
mm-hmm.
like the more people in that specific niche will come over.
Yeah,
and then when they watch the content, as long as it resonates with them, then they'll subscribe, they'll watch, which will increase retention.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube will reward that.
Exactly. And right now I'm actually at 14 subs at the moment, so that's really, 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 really good. Yeah. But I also, what's great about YouTube now is you actually can put like podcasts like this onto YouTube from the RSS feed, the audio only feeds onto YouTube. So that makes things a lot better.
Yeah, with no video podcast, yeah, that'll help out a lot, especially in podcasting and even the music space as well.
Oh, definitely, yes. YouTube has really, you know, gone abroad. Well, not abroad, but it's really, really, you know, expanded itself when it comes to videos and podcasts and music. It's really, now we got YouTube TV as well.
Yeah, YouTube has
so much.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. There's YouTube Music, which has the majority of music and podcasts. Mm-hmm. Then there's YouTube Normal, which is YouTube. Yeah. And YouTube Kids, catered towards kids content, although it is a bit iffy.
Yeah.
And then there's YouTube TV. Wondering what they're going to do next.
I wonder, too. It's just, they're always coming out with some new idea. And it's amazing, too. It's really, really amazing. So
100% agree.
Mm-hmm. How do you define a good video?
One that keeps the viewer on the video until the very end.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's a 6-second clip or 2-hour video, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find it hard to do like an hour video. It's really, really, really tough to, through it. But you have to if it's an hour though, you have to really make it very interesting, right?
Right. One way that I'm trying to do it, and I'm not doing very good at it, and when I start posting content, it's not going to show. Mm-hmm. But I've been really working on video editing and like weaving a story within the edit, and like that helps with adding in music. How do I cut things? Is it a J cut, which is basically where a clip of audio plays before the clip, or mm-hmm. is it an L cut where you see a visual and audio goes on top? Like there is a lot of different editing styles. Color gradients are a big thing now, especially with that I'm directing shows. I see how important colors are.
Yeah.
So how do you incorporate colors? There's just a million different things that mm-hmm. contribute to someone staying on for an hour.
Yeah, totally agree. And it's just, I was going to say something, I forget what I was saying. So, yeah, I don't remember what I was going to say now. Oops.
Sorry.
It's all right. Hey, you stumped me finally to what I was going to say. What's the perfect length in video? I know you said that some of them are like an hour. Like, what is the perfect length for a video? Typically.
So this is going to sound a little dumb. So the best lengths to post mm-hmm. are 8 to 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go over 18 minutes, it's as long as you can make it while keeping retention.
Yeah. It's like this podcast. Like, I think people, and we're going to try to keep it at least 40 minutes today, hopefully, but they'll bore our fans out. My fans are not going to get bored with us. But I mean, I try typically when I do, like, there's two different parts of Entertainment Man I do. Is there's the interviews where I have interviews/guests, which like you're doing today with me. And then there's like the ones I do topics. But I want to dissect more of my topic side of things is the topics are like about, I try to aim between 20 and 25 minutes. And it seems to be like the sweet spot for it, because I've noticed the views are a lot higher when it's around that number.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like each niche has its own mm-hmm. like timestamps on it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times what I see is like, there's one YouTuber that I watch, Michelle Carre. She uploads normally like 10 to 20 minute videos.
Yeah.
And they do extremely well. Mm-hmm. But out of the blue, she uploaded an hour 30 minute video of her getting a black belt in Taekwondo.
Mm-hmm.
I myself watched that video entire way through and it was amazing. And I believe her view output, like the amount of views she had on that mm-hmm. video, doubled her normal videos.
Yeah.
So it's like at one point, I think that the 20, 25 minute podcast worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just also playing around with, is it just because like that is the, because each person has their own time to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I notice like if I really go deep into a story, I can talk about that story for about an hour before people start losing interest.
Yeah.
But for some people it's 5 minutes. For some people it's 30 minutes. For some people they can go on all day.
Yeah.
So it's like figuring out what that time is mm-hmm. and then seeing if you can expand that time as much as possible.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's good to, when I'm creating content, I have a script and I'm looking at it on my top, because I have three screens in my studio. I think you knew that already.
Yep.
Yeah. So I, like, on this side, I have the audio only running right now. It's recording our voices and all that. And then the top one's the notes. But I try to get between 4 and 5 pages of notes or like a little mini script that I can follow. And I can actually put out 20 to 25 minutes easily.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
I personally, I don't know why, I can't follow a script. Mm-hmm. Like, I can have bullet points on things that I want to talk about. Oh, sorry. I have bullet points on things that I want to talk about. And, you know, for the TED Talk that I'm doing, I have to follow a script, so I have to memorize that.
Yeah.
But I noticed that, like, when I go in either blindly or with very loose bullet points, mm-hmm. that's when I tend to have the best conversations, because then I can dive deeper into what I want to talk about rather than a script. But I do feel like that does limit me in a ton of ways, because yeah. then if I talk about, you know, on my YouTube channel, I'll talk about communication, leadership, stuff mm-hmm. like that. If for one recording session, I just go off about, you know, video games for an hour, I just wasted an hour, and I can't really post on my channel without getting an audience that I don't really want.
Yeah.
So it's,
that's
yeah.
true. Yeah. And like, yeah, it's just like, I find it harder to write, you know, like when I have guests like you and, you know, Shane and everyone else I've had on the podcast over the last 3 years now. That's scary to think.
Wow.
Yeah, I've been doing interviews for 3 years now. It's kind of scary in a way, but I find it harder, or I find it easier to write my own, just me doing the podcast on my own. Like, I find it a lot easier doing my solo podcast compared to guests. But, you know, and this is not even scripted. I'm going to be honest, this is actually not scripted. This part of it is just me kind of off the whim, I guess, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just, because I'm just adding stuff that comes to my mind, too. That's also what's good about, you know, you don't always have to follow the actual, you know, note or script whatsoever. You can actually add, like, little tidbits in between, you know?
Right. It's like, you have the outline, but you're adding your own flavor mm-hmm. into the content.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good, too, but you don't want to go on and on and on and on too long. But I find actually doing guest appearances, it's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher. It's a challenge, but, you know, I'm always up to challenges. And, you know, it's just, I guess it's just more how you deal with it personally, I guess, when it comes to notes. But that's why you do a lot of research, too. And that's another thing with YouTube videos. You have to do a lot of research. What's the trends going on, you know, these days?
Yeah, oh my gosh, trend. So with all the trends that go on, especially in such a, I guess, niche field that I'm in, mm-hmm. it is so hard to find trends, because it's like, out of the billion, I think now YouTube's up to like 5.6 billion active users.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
It is.
So I think that's like almost everyone that has access to internet. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. And with that, it's like, out of all those 5.6 billion people in leadership communication, I think there is 5 to 10 million people at most mm-hmm. out of the 5.6 billion who watch it. And out of all those people, most of them either already have their own content creator that they will only watch, mm-hmm. or they don't even watch that content. They watch entertainment. So it's like, I don't have a real niche. I have a real niche, mm-hmm. but I don't really have an audience that I can track. Here's the trends, and here's how I can jump on it quick enough without them feeling like it's already been repeated, since, again, it's education. So if they hear the same thing, they're like, well, this isn't teaching me anything, I'm just going to click off.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and there was, I remember way back growing up, my days of, you know, I guess I would say college, more college days and whatnot, is when vlogs were a big thing back then. Now it's just not as, you know, not as popular for a niche these days. You know, it's kind of, the vlogs have kind of died off, but I remember those days on YouTube. It's just crazy to think how everything has changed in such a quick way, you know?
Yeah. I watched a video earlier today from one of my favorite music creators. He does music and now streaming too, mm-hmm. but he uploaded a video of YouTube back in 2015, and the YouTubers, Nate Wants a Battle.
Yeah.
But back in 2015, he would like be on vlogs with Markiplier, with Jacksepticeye, with PewDiePie, and like, it was a fun time. And he said the difference between then and now is that then, one, everything was new. So it was just an exciting time. And two, it was very community oriented. Mm-hmm. While now it's very algorithmic.
Yeah.
Like if you need to tap into human psychology, when before it was just, I want to have fun and I want people to connect with me.
Yeah.
Now it's, how do we get them to feel this in this storyline?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's bad. It's just, I do miss those days and it's just different.
Yeah, me too. I do miss those days too. I used to vlog at one point too, like on my Director 015, which is, I said this on the podcast so many times now, it's still actually on YouTube. It's just so amazing to look back and like, I really did that back in 2008. I think that's when I started on YouTube, was 2008. So I'm going on 20 years almost on YouTube, on and off of YouTube. So I'm an old timer.
I think I was a year old when you started. That is crazy.
It is, yeah. It's I can't believe it's been that long. And I took a break from YouTube. So I technically retired from YouTube in 2016. Then I came back in 2022. Then I kind of retired in 2024 from YouTube. And then now I'm back again. I'm on my third stint on YouTube. But it's kind of funny that in the way I keep retiring and coming back.
YouTube can't ever get rid of
it. Yeah, unless they ban me. But I don't think they will. I'll make sure I behave myself on YouTube.
Yeah, almost no one gets banned on YouTube if they make original content. There's a few exceptions.
Yeah.
As long as you play by the rules, then you're fine. And I know you will.
Oh, of course. I'm probably going to end up getting a copyright strike somewhere from one of the... I was on a different podcast, and it's audio only, thank goodness. And I keep getting copyright strikes. I keep editing out that audio part of it, and it keeps coming back on YouTube as, oh, you're playing copyrighted music. I'm like, forget it. And they're not going to do... They said they weren't going to do anything anyway, so they weren't going to strike down my channel or anything, so... Which is good, but I might have to erase that episode from it. So this probably will be 284 by the time it goes up. But anyways, so do we go with the current trends on YouTube these days?
I would say as a new creator, yes, but don't copy it.
Yeah.
What I forgot who said it. Some big YouTuber said it on a podcast, but copy it originally.
Yeah.
So you copy the video, but you make it your own. So if you see Ryan Trahan, I'm going to go across all of America with a pen. Then you look at someone like Tucker Doss, and he's like, I'm traveling across all of America on a bike to give Mr. Beast a pen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's the same concept since Ryan Trahan traveled across America to give Mr. Beast a penny. But Tucker Doss did it in a different way, and he added his own flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of copy and pasting, like I think someone came up with this term, Mr. Beastification. Instead of doing that, do that, but make your own content, not just copy it.
Yeah, it's like Jugger Nuggets, the Psycho series that he did way back in 2006. That's almost 10 years ago since it ended already. That's crazy.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But he got that from, not Boogie, what's his name? Michael. Michael Green, Kid Behind the Camera, The Angry Grandpa Show, which was it was very iconic back in the day. It's too bad Grandpa passed away, though. He was such a big icon. Yeah, he died of cirrhosis of the liver, unfortunately. So, but it does. Yeah, he was a big part of that. But that's where I guess the Jugger Nuggets got that from. Actually, I don't think it was just them. It was what's that YouTuber called? Waffle Pone was another one.
That name sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
But they had freak out videos. And then of course you have Boogie 298 doing the Francis skits, which is still iconic. I still watch some of them. It's just funny to laugh at them. That was a big genre back then too. It was like, that was one of the big ones that really attract a lot of people was the freakout videos on YouTube. So that was really, those were the times.
Those were, oh my gosh. Yeah, I am thinking back on those days now. I'm like, wow, that was a great time. At the time, it was like, what is going on? But it was a good time.
Yeah, I accidentally came across the Jugger Nuggets. I'm like, okay. And then I got into Kid Behind the Camera, and then I got into Boogie 298 now. It's just like, just, it all follows suit. And then it was like that's the one thing about YouTube is they introduce one, another YouTuber, like Michael actually introduced, you know, Healthy Junk Food, which is like a channel where they make, you know, they recreate stuff, they try different types of food and all that. And that's how I got it. It's just amazing how, you know, from one YouTuber to another, they recommend another channel. And it's just, I've gotten all these different channels I'm watching now. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah, I really like how that works. I do get overwhelmed sometimes because mm-hmm. it's like, it's gotten to a point to where I watch like 20, 30 different channels and it keeps growing and growing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh gosh, all of these people just posted. Which one do I go for? Because like, they're all amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad YouTube recommended them to me. But at the same time, YouTube is now getting too good at their job to where I have too many options.
Yeah, yeah. They feed you so much recommendations at times. And I don't think I've ever seen myself on the recommendation section. I might have been, hence I had like 119 on Entertainment Man, the original Entertainment Man channel. So, but that's, if you get on the recommendation, you know, channel, that is good. That's good for you. That means you get popular, right?
No, 100%. I think 92% of most channels get their views from recommended videos.
Yeah.
So being on recommended is a huge thing.
It is.
One thing that I do, which is why all of my videos are always recommended to me,
mm-hmm.
is that like I will always go back, watch every single video and watch, okay, here's what I did right, here's what I did wrong, here's what I could do better. And just because I've watched my videos so many times,
mm-hmm.
I get recommended my videos and I'm like, gosh, every time I get recommended one of my videos, I have to go back, I have to watch it, make the same note. Yeah. Like, it does help.
It does.
But yeah.
I'm looking actually at my analytics here on YouTube, and the last 28 days I got 64 views. That's crazy.
For a new channel? Yeah.
Yeah, and I just only started, December 24th, Christmas Eve I started.
Oh my gosh.
So that shows a lot. I'm doing something right. And this is all new content that's been going out lately too. So, you know, but I'm going to be pushing the old content on this channel too. So I want to get that done pretty quick, but it's amazing to watch your analytics kind of, it's like a heartbeat. It's like you have like the flat line and then you have like the up and down, up and down, up and down. Just, it's really cool to watch that. So
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the trends, this is the last thing I want to cover today because we are about 45 minutes. So we're getting there. So do you go with the trends on YouTube? And is this the way they're going these days with the trends?
I feel like most people do follow trends at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. every time Mr. Beast uploads a video, you have 10, 20 other people with hundreds of thousands to millions of subscribers copying the exact video.
Yeah.
So to say people don't follow trends is being ignorant to what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Do I follow trends? I would say I follow what's popular, but more importantly, what I do like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of trends I do like, so I'll follow them.
Yeah.
One of them is 53 minutes of communication advice for blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I like those kinds of videos. So like, I will hop on that trend.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like a certain dance, if I was a dance creator, mm-hmm. if a certain dance is going off and I just don't feel comfortable doing it, why would I do it? So it's
exactly,
like the mix of what do I like doing versus what's popular.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even if something's popular and something's not popular and I like it, I'll just do what's not popular because it may become the next trend that I start because I produce something mm-hmm. I like.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we did not talk about?
I would say out of everything, I think YouTube itself is both it's basically a business in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the product, which is the video, and the video needs to be absolutely amazing because you're competing for the audience's time.
Yeah.
And then the way you deliver that product is you need to package it correctly, which means you need to have an amazing thumbnail and a great title. And a great title, I would say, is 8 words or less, something that really drives the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a bit controversial, but I think clickbait is a good thing. You just need to have clickbait and then make the clickbait true.
Yeah.
Like, make sure that whatever you say in the thumbnail title, if it's clickbait, make that the reality that actually happened.
Yeah. I found myself clickbaiting on my blog. of all things, I started clickbaiting the hell out of my blog or the Crispy on the Web Media blog. Like, and it's getting views that way too. But you know, clickbait is the way it's going now, right? Because I see that happening a lot on YouTube, especially. It's just like, you know, for example, like I'm getting divorced, and the whole video is not about, you know, separating or whatever. I'm referencing a YouTube channel recent video that they did, but you know, that's just the way it goes now, right? It's just,
yeah, I would say that, like, in the short term it gets used, like clickbaiting in that kind of way,
yeah,
but a lot of what I try to do is like build. So one thing that I'm really heavily focused on right now is branding.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like to do is clickbait, but again, make the clickbait true. So if I say I made $100 million in that video, I better have made $100 million to prove the thumbnail title.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clickbait, but it's also clickbait and making the clickbait true in the video.
I'm gonna have to come up with a good title. That way, get some views on all the audio only, and then also the YouTube RSS feed. You know, that's the way to do it. And I do it all the time, especially with YouTube, with the audio only on YouTube. I always try to come up with some crazy title to kind of, you know, get people to listen it. And it's worked so far too.
Yeah, I mean, 64 views, and you said, was it 14 subscribers?
Yes, like, right now.
It's not even been a month, and for when this podcast being recorded, like, that is amazing.
It is.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that means I'm doing something right. And I kind of like the idea. I have a mixture of like content. I have like videos, behind the scenes stuff that goes on here in the studio, and you know, I'll do different videos, like even like an updated studio tour once in a while when I have updated something in the studio, which has been a lot of big changes here. The lights are in different places now. I'm gonna probably have to do another studio tour again at some point, but I mean, like, I do everything, and it seems to work, so that's what's good about it.
Yeah, and as long as it works, then like I'd just say keep going, because it's working so far. New channels, 14 subscribers, 60 plus views. Like, that is awesome. And if you keep going in that trajectory, I think that like, it will blow up at one point or another.
Yeah. Oh, like, definitely. Yes. I might go back to streaming, in fact, on YouTube, if that's the case. I might end up going back down the road. I can always re-enable the live streams too. But I'm going to wait until I get like 1,000 subscribers first before I do all of that before. So
that is fair. It's good to have like a fan base and then stream, so that way you at least have like people showing up that are consistently showing up to stream. Yeah,
like a strategy too, as well. It's like a strategy I'm having with the YouTube channel. Now I'm restarting, you know, I'm being more strategic with my moves than I do with the channel. So, you know, I'm taking it a little bit at a time, and then eventually, like you said, I'm going to blow up.
Yeah, I've kind of been taking those steps too, of just like, okay, let me plan out everything. So I have 4 videos that I've been working on for the past 3 months, and it'll be another 2 to 3 months before I even finish recording.
Yeah.
And then editing is going to take a month or two. And then after all that, I'll have 5-6 videos.
Yeah.
But I believe that they're going to be amazing videos. Like, the best videos not on YouTube, but like the best videos that I could possibly ever make. At this time.
Yeah, I believe that too, for sure. Do you want to talk about live streaming on another episode down the road? I know we were going to talk about live streams eventually, and I want to talk more about thumbnails with live streaming as well. The more of the strategic, you know, side of things for live streaming. Do you want to do that down the road?
I am so open to do that.
Yeah, let's keep collaborating.
I'm so down for that. Let me know like when you want to do that, because I'm open like most weekdays/weekends. So
yeah.
Like, I'll be open.
All right. Yeah, well, I will for sure. Is there any social media that you can find you on?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube. I'm about to start Twitter. I have a Twitter. I'm about to start promoting that too. So I have a Twitter or X account. Those are the main ones.
Okay.
But yeah.
If you're new to the podcast, please do subscribe to the podcast and wherever you're listening or watching. And eventually we'll be on video, I promise you guys. You can follow my personal Instagram producer Chris 85. That's my other account. That's my personal one. You get more like the real Chris, not the produce, like not the Crispy on the Web Chris. You kind of get mine. So go follow them as well. Follow them. What am I saying? Follow me on that one. Of course, you can follow Crispy on the Web Media on Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube at Crispy on the Web. And thanks again, Ken, for coming on.
Appreciate you for having me again. It's a blast.
It was. And I was excited as soon as I got the email. I was upstairs and I got the email and I was like, yes. I was like, oh, I'm going to say yes to it. We're going to book it right away. I was excited. So I'm happy we did this.
I am too. Sorry that I had to reschedule again, but, you know, I'm still glad that I was able to make it.
For sure. I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I was like, I woke up at 1:30. Like, oops, I better get up down there and finish that.
I hear you on that.
I work long hours, so.
So do I. I've done that way too many times where I'd like wake up 10, 20 minutes before a call and I'm like, oh, got to get on now.
Yeah, exactly. And as always, we'll check out Ken's links in the description below. I'll get your X account to add to that. I already have your other links. I'll send you an email shortly after the interview. And, you know, thank you guys so much for tuning in and cannot wait for episode 286. Or is it 285? I don't know. I haven't decided on that one podcast yet. But look forward to it, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And I will see you guys next week for another episode of Entertainment Man Podcast. Bye for now. Entertainment Man Podcast is a weekly radio podcast produced by Crispy on the Web Media. All rights reserved. Any illegal reproduction of this content will result in immediate legal action.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week again for a fresh round.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.